Wizard of Whiskey presents Swig and Ramble, a podcast for the modern age. Come for the whiskey, stay for the shit show. Introducing Justin Curry at Wizard of Whiskey, Julia Men at the Wee Tipple. And now, pour yourself a drink and enjoy the show. I know I will.
Welcome
back. Hey, somebody.
Someone's got to do something. Right. And I guess that someone is me, because it's only me and Justin here today. Yay. Happy Wednesday. Is it Wednesday? I don't know. Justin thought it was Thursday. Lord.
I genuinely have no idea what day it is at this point.
That's been me the past couple of weeks. What the fuck? Wow. Folks, okay. I wish you could all see this, because I have never seen anyone try and open a bottle of soda. What the fuck are those? Pliers?
These are good old-fashioned pliers, yes.
What's wrong with you? Just put it on a ledge and smack it.
Oh, I don't have a ledge in this room.
You have a desk. You have a windowsill. Wow, he is very proud of himself. He literally just used pliers to take a crown cap
off. I should screenshot this. I opened a beer.
Is that the beer?
Pliers.
I thought that was the soda.
Southern forefathers will be extremely proud.
Would they, because of your ingenuity?
They would. Plus, I know how to use a pair of pliers.
That's what pliers are for, is it?
It's the South. Yes. You can use pliers for literally anything.
California.
Dental work, opening beer, car repair, you name it. Yes, I am in California now. You are not wrong. However, I was born and raised in the South, and there are some things that I learned. Certain chicaneries, certain things you just do. And my wife will every now and then be like, what are you doing? I'm like,
Yeah, not just your wife. I am like, what the fuck are you doing?
Pretty much everyone I know is like, what are you doing, man? I thought you were Californian. And yes, I am a Californian now, but I lived all over this great country of ours. And I have to say, everyone everywhere is an asshole. But anyway, so happy whatever today is.
Yeah.
We thought we would get back to some of our original programming. I think today we're going to do a little bit of an article bitch fest. I needed to get in the mood for sure. So I go to one of my favorite spots. I go to Rob Report. It's as if a magazine. It's almost like George Plimpton and The Atlantic, The New York Times, and Brown University got together and said, we need something that no one will understand how to read. And at the same time, is just people faffing about bullshit.
How long has Rob Report been around? Because I feel like my sister used to read this like 15 years ago.
I'm sure, yeah. I actually love a good newspaper, physical newspaper. In fact, when I travel, I love, you know, most of them have like a USA Today type of situation. Love to get a physical newspaper and read it. Tried to the other day to, I was like, I should maybe get the Wall Street Journal again. I haven't had it in 15 years, like the physical newspaper. And I can't stand reading shit online for more than a couple of minutes. Like, I'm not a, let me check the news and read it online for hours at a time. And I'm not one of those people on my phone either. I can't do that either. I check social media. I check and see what my wife sent me on social media.
Hey, there we go.
And that's it. Like, I'm not a, I can't. So anyway, shall we start with Sours My Mash? Shall we start with
I think you used fucking pliers to take the lid off of something. So what the fuck are you drinking, my friend?
I am a fan of, I'm a fan, honestly, of leaving stuff, mainly because they forget about it. Trying to test if things are cellarable. So this is actually an Oktoberfest beer. The Hofbräu Oktoberfestenbier, yeah?
Yeah. Where's das Bierboot?
From the Munich, yeah? So I'm a big fan of the Bavarian style beers. I'm going to smell it. It's right out of the bottle, kids.
Shout out to my friends in Bavaria. You guys are fabulous. I want to come
Bavaria.
Visit. Bavaria! Yes!
Yeah!
Yeah!
Pretzels and Zavina schnitzels, yeah? I do think that that area of Europe doesn't get enough respect as far as food and beverage. They created some of the best beers, the best breads, amazing cheeses and mustards and other things
so
to help
good.
The monks survive.
It's fucking hearty. It is hearty.
And this shit is good. This shit is really good.
Keeps you through those awful winters too.
It really does. So if you wanted to know whether Oktoberfest in Bier is ageable, yeah. I understand people are obsessed with these, maybe I'll save that for later, but obsessed with these dates. It's fucking beer, guys.
Okay, wait, hold on. Now go back. So how long have you had that particular beer in your cellar to see if it's still good?
Probably 2 years.
Oh, okay. What was the quote-unquote best buy date, or does it have one on there still?
Sometime in 2022.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think it was produced in 21, so.
And how does it taste in 2024?
It tastes fine. Honestly, it tastes, there's caramel, there's marzipan, there's everything you expect from this type of beer. It's all there. Not a lot of acidity, not a lot of hop, which, again, you don't expect because it's not a fucking hazy IPA. So I think it's fine. I would drink this. Hell, I would make this into a sauce right now.
Well, you are drinking it, so I'm glad
I am drinking this.
Drink it, because
I have two what's in my glasses this time. But I'm going to let you go first with yours.
Oh, okay. Well,
or second, rather, I guess.
I have had my ass handed to me today by allergies. Despite snorting my drugs and taking my regular allergy pills, everything is itchy inside and out, and my face is falling off, and my throat is dying. So I have a hot toddy. I think I use these fairly often on this show, actually, but that's because they're endlessly changeable, and this is delicious. In it, I have the Fifth State Barrel Strength Whiskey, because I wanted something high proof, so I think I used the bottle that was a 110 proof that I've had for a while from them. I also put in a dash of their ginger vodka, because they use just a boatload of fresh ginger, so holy shit. And I didn't have any fresh ginger on me. So I'm like, hey, I got ginger vodka. And obviously got some agave syrup in there. And wow, I just blanked because my brain. Yeah, this is going to be real fun that I keep zoning out about every 10 seconds. So I'm just going to drink. Oh, there's tea in here. Oh, and lemon juice. That was it. Lemon juice, agave, and tea.
Well, there you go. That sounds fancy. I don't know why I'm feeling very Southern nostalgia today, but my second what's in my glass is a Mexican Pepsi. And something the people in the South do is they take roasted peanuts, shelled, obviously, raw or honey roasted, and they add them directly to a bottle of Coke.
What?
And we drink it like that.
Wait, hold on.
In Arkansas.
You're putting the peanuts actually in?
I'm putting them in a cap and eating them next to it. But growing up, my father used to do the peanuts in the Coke bottle thing. And people still do this shit.
They put the peanuts in the soda.
Yeah. You pour it in the soda and you drink it like that.
What is wrong with you? Why? Well, what does it taste like? Now I'm curious.
It tastes like soggy nuts. Wait, hold on.
Gross.
Right? That was awkward. We need Mark.
Can we call this episode Soggy Nuts?
Yes, we fucking can. Anyway, I think that's a great place to stop. Thank you for joining us. Holy shit.
We're both cut off.
We're both cut off. Holy shit.
So what's happening to your mash today?
Two sips. Fucking salt from the peanuts. Holy shit.
He's dying. The soggy nuts are out
I'm
to
dying.
Get eaten.
I'm dying.
Because we made fun of them. And is that really going to help?
Two sips of beer and a sip of Pepsi, and I'm choking all over the place here. All right. So
he can't hold his liquor.
I cannot, man. I'm telling you right now. All right.
What sours
my mash?
I would not have done this podcast with you if you had that accent this entire time.
Seriously?
Seriously.
Wow. Well, goddamn. So I think you know what that means, everybody. This episode, I'm going to have the twang all episode.
No! God damn it! What have I done?
So Julia up there is a Yank from Connecticut. I don't even think I can hold that accent the whole time.
Yeah, nope.
People do often ask me, they're like, you were born in Memphis, Tennessee. How the hell do you not have an accent? And I think I affected an accent on my own when I was a child just to avoid sounding like everyone else. And so this is just my voice. And people are like, are you from Philly? Are you from New York? Are you from Chicago? I'm like, no, I'm from fucking Memphis, Tennessee. This is the way I talk. I never really did have a natural twang, so I actually can't talk. My father, wow. Sounds like a Confederate convention when he gets on a phone with my sister. Those two, forget it.
Oh, my. He's
fantastic.
Oh, how did you dodge the accent?
I just spoke without an accent. I never tried to adopt the accent. I think you have to actually try to adopt an accent when you're growing up. And then this is the one I adopted, and this is just how I speak. Anyway, that doesn't sour my match. Why don't you go first? What sours your match, Jules? Other than me calling you Jules.
Are you sure you want me to go first? Because it's fucking heavy as shit, man. But okay, here we go.
Do it.
Natural disasters.
Oh, yeah.
Such as flash floods that just ripped through my community and destroyed a ton of businesses and literally washed people's homes away. Yeah, I mean, by the time we release this episode, it will probably be a few weeks after the fact, but Connecticut just suffered some seriously insane flooding, and that was right where my house is. And thankfully, we're on a hill, so we were safe, but it was terrifying. We were gone all Sunday at the Ren Faire, and we got back, and we couldn't even get to our house because the road was flooded out, so we had to park nearby, thankfully high up, and I have never seen or heard water that high and that loud. It was roaring, like it was, and it was receding by that point, but it was still covering the roads. The devastation is pretty astronomical. The main roads are completely washed out in multiple places, like just fucking gone, just gone. The footage I have seen of this woman's house falling, completely collapsing, and I spent some time helping out some of the shops across the street that were just decimated, and like I knew it was going to be bad. It was way worse than I thought. It's a lot. And I wasn't even personally physically affected. Like, my family is fine, my pets are fine, my house is safe, but holy shit, seeing thousands of people's lives turned upside down, ruined their livelihoods, their homes gone, all their possessions, several people died, I believe some might still be missing, like, holy shit! It took me several days just to kind of come to terms with it and all the emotions. So, yeah, natural disasters and catastrophes are really fucking awful. And that's really sad. And that sours my mash this week.
You're right. I should have gone first.
Way to go, Justin.
Now I have two sours my mashes.
They're mash still eye. Not going to be as bad as mine.
Mash eye. No, they're not. the first is, you know those jackasses who turn around after a natural disaster and tell people who were affected, even though they weren't affected, oh, it's just stuff? Fuck you. These people spend lifetimes collecting things, whether it's tchotchkes, china cabinets, pictures. It's not just stuff. And yeah, I understand we're a very materialistic society. But if you're out there saying, oh, well, it was God's plan, or it was just stuff, it can all be replaced. No, it fucking can't.
Yeah, you can't replace your family photos, your child's favorite nostalgic toy.
Yeah.
Your birth certificates, your marriage certificates, like all original, like, holy shit.
I genuinely dislike those people who are, well, it was part of God's plan.
No,
Well,
go fuck yourself.
it was, there's no, first of all, no God. Second of all, no plan. Third of all, stop that. If you truly are a quote unquote Christian, or you truly are a quote unquote good person, you shouldn't be out there saying, oh, even if it's not replaceable, it's fine. You know, it's just stuff. You should be out there helping them replace stuff. You should be going to donation centers and donating things. You should be giving clothes. You should be donating to, and by the way, we will have links in this episode to donate to whatever relief organizations are helping these people in the Northeast who are affected by this. Get out there, donate, roll up your sleeves, roll up your jeans, and help some people.
Wear your rubber boots, go into the destroyed liquor store that stinks to high heaven, and everything is fucking glass and mud and cardboard boxes that are sodden, and, you know, help out. That is one of the good things. So many people are coming together to help these businesses and these displaced people. So that's heartful and hopeful to see, but also it shouldn't be necessary in the first place because, oh my God, this was unexpected. No one was expecting this. Like, we saw, oh, there's rain coming. We didn't foresee 14 to 16 inches within a couple of hours. And the dam raised up, what, like 16 feet within 3 hours? And like the river behind my house must have risen at least 25 feet. Cause like seeing it now when it's back to its normal levels, I'm like, holy shit. So yeah, like Justin said, don't be that person.
Yeah.
There's a time and a place, and you really just need to let people grieve and process before trying to quote unquote make things better for them. You can't always look on the bright side of life. Sorry, Life of Brian, but there's a time and a place to go through what you're actually going through.
You raise a good point, and we're not going to get into it this episode because we've already depressed the shit out of the three people who are still listening.
Sorry guys.
But yeah, grief is a different thing, and we should absolutely explore that, and we will in another episode later on down the line, maybe around the holidays. We'll explore grief and make sure that people understand the concept. But here's the other thing that sours my mash. I don't know how I pissed off the social media algorithm. I am getting weird, weird, weird ads.
What kind of weird? I'm almost nervous to ask.
Should be. I'm getting almost all spammy bullshit now. Like, I very rarely see my actual friends on Facebook. It's just garbage. Something for our company was rejected the other day on Instagram as a quote unquote promotion, even though we're a company. Like, I genuinely, guys, the algorithms are broken. Okay. The algorithms are broken. Plain and simple. That being said, you should rush to the Swig and Ramble Facebook page and Insta pages and like and share and all that stuff. To help re-break the algorithms in the right place. Like setting a broken leg. You break it again so that you set it better. We're going to go with that. But yeah, the algorithms are weird. I've got some, it's just crazy ads. Like one of them, and I think Julia might have even seen when I was sharing my screen a minute ago. There's all kinds of weird, I don't know why I'm getting these video clips on my feeds. Like, put your clothes back on. It's Facebook. What are you doing? Why am I seeing this?
Yeah, I've been wondering about that as well. And holy shit, realizing like 5 out of 7 things are just ads and promos. It's for pages I don't follow, but I see. And so I keep hitting the X to not see this. Don't show me this. Stop showing me this. Like, I don't follow these things. Also, not just on Facebook, but also on Instagram.
Yeah.
Now I'm noticing things like, I have never followed these pages.
Yeah.
And yet it is saying I have. So is something actually just clicking follow XYZ when I am not the one doing it? Because I absolutely haven't started following these pages. I'm like, what the fuck?
I am a big fan of the Big Bang Theory, but I don't need this page coming up on my feed telling me about shit about the weird random ass things about the show. The show's been off the air for 10 years. So that's, this is literally here. We'll go. Okay, so that's one post. Second post is a person. Second, third post is a person. There you go. Chase Sapphire. Third post is another ad.
Yep.
Fourth post. Fifth post. Another ad.
Yeah, like I will close down three or four ads right in a row. I'm like, what the fuck? And also, why don't you show me my actual friends' posts?
This is all, yeah. So
it's all just ads.
They have legit fucked us.
Yeah.
Another ad. Here you go. After two more posts of people I don't even think I know, another ad. And there it is.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Why, all what? Of these reels, I don't know how I'm getting these.
Yeah.
I don't need to see this. I'm a married man. Stop it.
I also really hate that I've obviously been watching the local videos of the destruction of the floods. And now that is all that I am being shown on Facebook for reels. Mm-hmm. Is like mass destruction. I'm like, no, I don't see things. They stress me out. They upset me. They get my empathy roaring into action and I can't handle it. Like, stop.
Show me a puppy and a tiger, cuddling together or something every now and then. Fuck, yeah. I don't need to see this other crap. Like, seriously, LinkedIn. Why are you giving me LinkedIn ads? I get it.
Oh, my. Well, okay. Going back to Justin seeing half-clad ladies, Beyonce now has her own whiskey brand. I'm looking at one of the articles about it, and there she is. That looks kind of like macrame, macrame outfit, a barely there shirt. She doesn't look like she's wearing underwear. You can see basically all of her butt and thigh and most of her boobs.
What?
And yet this is apparently an ad for her whiskey. I'm like, oh, wait, yeah, they're
well,
on the
at
very
different
far
screens.
side
I'm
of
like,
the
what are you
picture.
Talking about?
Oh, no, I'm looking at a different article.
Oh, I'm
but
like, I
they're
don't
on
see
the
any of
complete
it.
other side. Oh, I guess she is technically holding a glass with a brown liquid in it. Wow, okay. And so this picture, I guess, was from her Instagram. She has 317 million followers, by the way. And the quote is...
I'm sorry, how many?
317 million.
317 million.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be pretty much anyone with an internet connection?
I guess her whiskey is called Sir Davis, but now it's like her quote is, there is Davis in my bones. Oh, this just harkens back to the whole sex and marketing, and she is leaning full into it.
I'm not 100% sure about that, because Davis is her great grandfather.
Yes, whose first name was Davis. She seems to be honoring his legacy with his brand. Oh my. Oh God, really?
$89. Okay. So SRP is 89, which you know it's gonna be way more than that on the actual shelf. So here's my question. Number one, number one. Do we need another celebrity brand? Number two, does it need to be more than $40? Number three, why?
I think you're gonna know my answer to all three of those. No. No. Also, apparently Beyonce named her son Sir, S-I-R.
No.
What the fuck is wrong with people? Didn't someone name their child Apple and Musk or someone else, some giant, maybe it was Musk or Bezos, named their kid like AX17? What? What the fuck is wrong with these people? Holy shit.
These assholes, it was Paltrow, by the way. It was Gwyneth Paltrow. And that's the only reason I know that is because I know this was a Sour as My Mash some years ago. Whether it was on this show or not, someone got an earful from me because these people, these jackass celebrities, are naming people like they're jackasses. And they don't realize these children have to grow up. When Gwyneth Paltrow is dead, her daughter's still going to be around. She's going to be walking around at 69 years old saying, hi, my name is Apple. Like,
didn't Michael Jackson name one of his children Blanket?
Yes. And this is why I truly believe, number one, get rid of celebrities. Number two, don't allow them to name things.
Yeah.
I feel like we should have them, when you become a celebrity and you've made quote unquote the status, Cool. You reached whatever port in your life that you've reached celebrity status. Cool. From now on, you get the Britney treatment. Everything goes into a trust. You're not allowed to do anything with anything. I'm tired of these celebrities going on and doing stupid shit, naming stupid shit. What's his name's going up into space? The other one with Amazon is making a dick go into space. Like, no, you have trillions of dollars. Talk to your design team. Ask them why it looks like a penis. It's a spaceship. And no, once you've reached that point, you should not be allowed to name your kid. Because none of these people have actually named their children. I think is it Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes? I know that's a very old reference, but didn't they name their kids some stupid shit? North from whatever the Kanye douche nozzle.
Oh, wait, didn't someone? Yeah, he named it like Northeast and Northwest or something.
Yes, well, North is the first name, but his last name is West. Northwest. No.
Yeah, no. That's.
We should have them assigned fiduciaries and competency hearings where it's like, okay, submit five names, and then an adjudicator says, okay, you can pick one of these.
Oh my God.
Or we'll pick another one for you because you're not naming your kid Northwest or Sir or any other head up your ass just because you have money bullshit.
Yeah.
Reality doesn't care how much money you have. That kid's gonna get beat to hell when he goes to school.
Yeah, think of all of the trauma and subsequent therapy that is going to be required. These poor people.
Hey, you know what? Fuck it. SwigandRamble.com/namingrights. Pay us and we will name your fucking kids for you.
Yeah. You know what? It's actually quite difficult to come up with a good name that both people agree on.
Oh my God, yes.
Sandy and I went through legit probably over 100 names for our cats. And like, cats, I guess they should normally be a little bit... Animals can have broader names than humans. Like, you probably wouldn't name your child Sir Fluffikins the Mighty. But you know what?
I'm 100% doing that now.
But, you know, with cats or dogs or whatever, it could totally work. So... animals have a much broader range, so there are more names available from which to choose. And eventually, we settled on two that we both love, and it fits our babies quite well. But seriously! What? You're naming a fucking human! Do right by them. Okay, I mean, I'm never gonna have children, but just do better, people. Do better. God. What were you talking about?
I'd like to be clear. We're talking about celebrities. I don't care. I genuinely do not care what anyone else names their kid. That's between you and I hope a qualified therapist. But celebrities have a duty, whether people agree that they do or not. You have a duty to not be a jackass. You have a duty to that child that your money does not protect you from. So take your head out of your ass and do better.
Hear, hear. I'll drink to that.
So obviously this episode is designed as a bitch fest. So we're going to do that. Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about, let me see if I can find the article. We're going to go through some, let me see Facebook. Why put some clothes on. So I can find this damn article. I saw a headline the other day. report shows large grocery chains were largely responsible for brain is not functioning at the moment.
You've caught my allergy dumbs.
Got it. I guess I have. You know what? It can be transmitted through microphone to microphone contact.
Yeah.
You know, sorry, like the microwaves from Microsoft and all that stuff. The bread that chips in our brains.
Yeah, it's the 5G, right? Also, holy shit. I feel like I'm starting to break out in hives. Like, I am so itchy and my hand is kind of welting, and that's weird. It's probably not a good thing, is it?
Okay. So the FTC releases a report on grocery supply chain disruptions. This was in 2024. Pandemic-induced disruptions disproportionately impacted smaller firms as larger companies sought to protect market share, comma, power. Let me translate that for you who don't speak jackass. Very large grocery chains, which is most of them, Kroger, Albertsons, and I believe there's a merger on the horizon for basically there to be one grocery chain in the entire country.
Fuck off.
They took everything, created supply chain disruptions, and then charged you more.
Yeah.
I'm not sure we needed this report. Number one, because duh. Number two, I'm not sure it's super helpful. So here are some key points, which I love. Grocery retailer profits rose and remained elevated. Food and beverage retailer revenues increased more than 6% over total cost in 2021, higher than most recent peak in 2015 of 5.6. Large purchasers sought favorable supplier allocations. What? Excessive consolidation recognized as a liability.
No shit.
Decrease in promotional spending. Damn.
Where's your Mexipeps? Doesn't have the same ring as Mexicoke, just saying.
This is trade language, government language. I read this as grocery profits rose and did not fall. See, what they're saying is they jacked up the price, and then even though there are no more supply disruptions, the prices remain the same. So their profits, go up.
Yeah, no shit.
To go up. Large purchasers sought favorable supplier allocations. Giant companies squoze every vendor as much as they could to get as much as they could in a bacchanal of corruption. Translate that for you there. Excessive consolidation recognized as liability. Giant corporations became even more giant.
I'm still stuck on you saying squoze. That was hilarious. New word. Squoze. Yeah, no, inflation isn't fucking real. And unfortunately, the prices are never going to go down because why would mega corporations give up their profits and their shareholder increases and stocks and blah, blah, blah? We're fucked. It's fine.
We are. I mean, there's a couple of ways out of this quagmire. I'm going to use some fancy fucking words this episode because why not?
Like squoze.
Squoze is a great word. I'm going to bring out squoze in next. See what my wife has to say. This other one, which I find interesting, is from Farm Action. Busted. Largest grocers exploited consumers during pandemic disruptions. This was back in April of this year. No kidding. Again, not needed. You know, not. We need to say these things. Yes, of course, we need these reports to come out and be factual and say, hey, this is what's happening. What we're going to see, and I think this gets back to that celebrity thing. Number one, I've tasted some celebrity bands. I enjoyed very few of them. I met Aaron Paul and Bryan Cranston. They're fantastic people. I've tasted their mezcal. They're very passionate about making a product that is true to the area. I wonder if it's still enough as far as celebrity brands. You've got people with money coming into a region. And after spending some time in London earlier this year, and after spending some time reflecting on wealth, which I don't have, I want to be clear about that. I'm not talking about money, I'm talking about wealth. It's quite clear that the solution is get rid of the rich. Not only should we be naming their children for them, because they clearly don't know how to do it. Get rid of them. We can present you with an award. Congratulations, you've won $999 million. Cool. You get a plaque, you get a billboard. Fuck, we'll even put up a statue for you on Billionaires Row. But no more billionaires. Come on,
yeah,
we need to be realistic here, people, right?
What the fuck? I'm just so flabbergasted that this is how the world runs. I'm obviously not the only one who sees the insanity for what it is, but so many people seem to be okay with it and still believe in trickle-down economics and not taxing the billionaires because they, quote-unquote, make the job. Like, what? You're not, okay, so school teachers have to fund their own classroom supplies, which I think they can only write off like $250 worth or some ridiculously small amount for their taxes. And yet these people with obscene, obscene amounts of money, they make more every single day than most people ever make in a lifetime. And they're not contributing to society in any meaningful capacity.
Or at all. They actually take, there's economic theories out there that first of all, there's no economic theory that supports trickle-down economics. There's no such thing as trickle-down economics. What it is it's a marketing term that they came up in the late 70s as part of the Southern strategy. Let me be clear about what the Southern strategy was. It was white supremacists.
Ugh.
In the, was it Gerald Ford White House? I think I'm trying to remember if it was Gerald Ford or if it was Pryor. I'll double check and I'll make sure that the information is correct and we'll correct ourselves in the next episode. But I'm pretty sure it was part of the Southern strategy where white supremacists realized that colleges were doing well. People were actually going to them. People were becoming educated. You can't have that. Which is why the Republican Party and the white supremacists who control the conservative parties in this country want to ban education. They want to ban books. They want to ban abortion. They want to ban everything. Because that's what freedom means, right?
Doing everything their way.
And as part of that is their trickle-down economic theory, which is if you don't tax the uber wealthy, then they'll go out and create jobs. Let me be clear. No billionaire has ever actually created a job. Don't come at me with, oh, but they buy the yachts. They buy the buildings. They buy the this. They buy the that.
So and they're buying something.
They're buying things, mostly not American, number one. No billionaire has ever created a job. Elon Musk has never created a job. And the second point I want to make about billionaires, and I think I'll move on from this, is there's no such thing as a billionaire being created. That's a myth. You're born into fantastical wealth, as is the case of Musk, who was a child of a emerald mine apartheid thug. In case you don't know what that is, slavery in South Africa. And I saw a post the other day where someone had posted something about this grand cathedral. I think it was in Spain, not the Gaudi, but somewhere else. And someone said, hey, why don't we do things like this anymore? And someone replied, because slavery has been outlawed. And that's accurate. The White House, built by slave labor. Largely the Capitol building. Parts of it, slave labor. I want to be clear. There's no such thing as a created billionaire. You're born into wealth, even if it's moderate wealth, such as Zuckerberg or Gates or Jobs or some of these other people who we put on a pedestal. They're not born to be billionaires. They're born into massive wealth. And I don't get me started on Dickhead Donnie. Joel, what else you got? Julia, please save us.
Oh, God. I don't even know where. I just want to thank all of our now probably down to two listeners for putting up with us
one at most.
On this. Yeah, one at most. Probably not even my mother. She didn't even know about the floods. I'm like, really? Really?
Wow.
Like, you didn't even check in? Okay.
Nancy, come on. Oh, come on now.
Well, I'm depressed, but I feel like this was good for us. We just needed a bit of a rant zone time.
Oh, we're not
Covered
done.
it. Oh, God.
We're not done.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about this.
Yes.
Read
So
that out.
I'm coming after you, Pappy. Pappy Van Winkle cuts off this bartender for making whiskey jello shots. 10 years later, he has no regrets.
Kudos to him. Fuck yeah, I would love to try
Even
that jello shot, and I have sworn
smoking.
off jello shots. But also, why? Really? Do they have their heads that far up their asses that they're gonna stop someone from doing what they want with their products? What the fuck?
Yes, they are. This is a very interesting point in this article. That's right. He used what is now one of the most collectible whiskeys and made what is arguably the lowest form of a drink, and drink is in quotation marks. Okay, let's unpack this sentence. Let me, who the fuck wrote this?
This is also
Jonah
coming from
Flicker.
Rob Report.
Yep, this is also from Jonah Flicker. We're coming after you, buddy. I'm sorry, but he wrote the Beyonce one too.
Nay.
All right, Jonah, we're gonna come after you for this one, buddy. You're a jackass. Okay, let's unpack collectible whiskeys. I don't know how many years ago it was. It was probably the early 2000s, 2022, 2023. I'm sorry, 2002,
You're like,
2003.
this is,
Yeah,
that's not.
maybe 2005 at the most. And I want to say, God, it wasn't John Campbell. I don't remember who it was. I was speaking with a Scottish distiller. And he asked me some questions, and I said, yeah, most people will buy your bottle and they'll leave it on their back bar for about 10 years. And he said, what do you mean? And I said, it's a collector's item. People collect it. And he said, what do you mean they collect whiskey? It's for drinking.
Yeah.
And super racist, by the way. I'm going all in today.
Oh, yeah, I was gonna say, please don't try and do a Scottish accent anymore. It was really bad.
What?
I love you.
How dare you?
Oh, jeez. It's so
Yeah,
bad.
I do that all the time with my dog, actually, with Teddy. I'll mess with him a little bit. And he looks at me like, what? What are you?
I can't understand what you're
When a
saying.
puppy looks at you, sort of like, dude, you gotta stop that. It's time to stop with the accents.
Yeah.
But no, so this idea behind collectible whiskey, it's a fucking beverage. Stop, and I should not be the one to talk because I have way too much as it is. Stop collecting things.
Yeah, it's meant to be enjoyed, which so many fucking distillers will tell you, especially the ones that really appreciate what they're doing. They want you to drink it. They want you to share it with your friends and family. They want to get it out there. They don't want it to stay closed in a box on a shelf. What the fucking point is that? Also, people didn't really start collecting whiskey like the beast it is nowadays. Until pretty recently, in the grand scheme of whiskey making that we're looking at. Like, oh my God. So, this was what, from at least 10 years ago, this bartender was doing it? Maybe longer?
Apparently.
And, like, come on, people. Ah, who cares? Who fucking cares? Especially back then when it wasn't as big of a deal.
It's 2014. It was on its way to unicorn status, which it was. And again, I want to be clear. I love Julian and Preston Van Winkle. They are very passionate. They are very well educated. They are very good people. They make great whiskey. I have sat and had coffee in Sally Van Winkle Campbell's home, and I love this family. This nonsense is garbage.
There it is.
It's absolute garbage. And they know it, and everyone at Sazerac knows it. They could make more. This idea of a unicorn whiskey, it's fucking whiskey.
Also, why would you want something so unattainable? I mean, sorry, that came out wrong. Like, why as a brand do you want to make a product that is so unattainable? Why aren't you making something that people can fucking enjoy? I don't understand the hype. I mean, I'm sure it's a lovely whiskey, but is it worth the thousands upon thousands of dollars it goes for? For like one person to get it, maybe in each state? Like, it's bollocks.
I'm gonna defend Jonah Flicker here. I actually read through the article real quick. At the bottom of the headline, he does say, "Relax, people, it's just whiskey." And then the article is very well written, as far as kind of defining the cult and the allocation and the unicorns and the it was accused this guy he was accused of being sacrilegious. Are you fucking kidding me?
Is whiskey religious?
You know what's sacrilegious? I am the least religious person on the planet. And when my wife and I were walking through the catacombs in the Vatican, we had to shush people. I had to shush people from being disrespectful with the dead popes. Me, the least religious fucking person ever. That's sacrilegious. Walking through in your booty shorts and talking loudly, they were German, and talking loudly throughout that they're the worst European of the European. They're like the white trash of Europe.
I'm not gonna tell my friends you said that.
Please don't. because we were so afraid of being those quote unquote ugly Americans. It turns out we were not that bad. But sacrilegious? Come on. Dude. I mean, would I have ever purchased a Pappy Van Winkle Jello shot? No, I'm not a Jello shot person. But 10 years? He's on a shit list for 10 years? Like, you know what? We're going to reach out. Okay, we're going to reach out to Jonah. We're going to reach out to this bartender, Jeremy Johnson, the owner of Louisville Bar and the owner of Louisville Bar Meta. 10 years ago, he shocked the whiskey world, took the holiest of holies, and did the unthinkable.
Oh, my God.
We're going to reach out to both these people. We're going to try and get him on the podcast. And we're going to start a campaign to get this guy his allocation of Pappy back.
Hey! I want to know who cut him off in the first place. Like, the
probably
actual
the, probably
family?
The brand.
Or, like...
It was probably someone in the marketing department. And, again, I wasn't there. Let me be clear. I don't know anyone in the current Sazerac departments. I do get the emails from Brown, Mark Brown, whatever his name is, which are probably written by a secretary at this point. But I'm going to reach out to some people that I know at Sazerac, and we're going to try and remedy this. This is ridiculous, guys. Come on, get the guy some damn Pappy. Let him make Jello shots. It's okay.
I mean, I bet it might be the way a lot of people, their only chance to try some Pappy.
Yeah.
And also, I bet no one else fucking thought of doing that, or at least had the balls to do it.
We get this all the time with cider. People are like, oh, you can't make a cocktail with our cider.
Oh, fuck off.
What do you
Why
mean
not?
I can't make a cocktail with your cider? Of course I can. I can replace it with champagne. I can replace it with a lot of sparkling things in a cocktail. It's a great accompaniment. I get that you love your products. I absolutely do. You work hard at them. No one's trying to take that away from you. But do you think we're taking this kind of shit a little too seriously? That was a legit question to you, Joy. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. Repeat the question. My brain fogged out.
Are we, because I can tell by your face, we taking this shit too seriously?
Of course we are. Absolutely. 1,000,000,000%. Oh my God. Get the fuck over yourselves. It is a drink. And I think a lot of how I have been raised and welcomed into this world of wine and spirits, where people actively are trying to make it more accessible and less stuffy and less old man in a smoking jacket surrounded by leather and animal heads on the walls. Just enjoy it the way you like to enjoy it. If that means making Pappy Van Winkle into Jello shots or mixing, I don't know, your 20-year-old scotch with Coke. Just everybody else, get over yourselves. You're not the ones doing it. I think, in general, people need to get over themselves and stop freaking the fuck out about what other people are doing. I mean, within reason, we're talking about things within the realms of legality. Nothing like super gross and awful. Because, of course, everyone's a fucking critic and likes to poke holes in everything instead of just taking the spirit of the word. Anyway, folks, I think that's all I have in me for tonight, because I am fucking dying. And I have a big ass day tomorrow, hopefully, unless my allergies decide to keep me in bed all day. But be sure to follow us on the socials. on the interwebs, and I don't know. I don't think we even have a TikTok, or we do, and we never post on it. So, you know, Instagram
we do.
or Facebook. Oh, I don't have TikTok. So, thanks for joining us for this shit show and this ramble. We always love having you join us, and be sure
and
to join us next time. Oh, and a swig, yeah. Join us next time when we discuss those assholes who only like celebrity baby names.
Who in the fuck are these people?
Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Download almost anywhere. Join our Facebook group and follow us at Swig and Ramble on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and Twitter for more fermented fuckery. Cheers.